These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and live to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Now, this is an exclusive right here. This is Jim Peterson. By the way, Kyle Tighe back on Flagrant Howls after a few days off. Jim Peterson is literally in the parking lot at the airport having landed from Denver earlier today. This is on the ground reporting here, folks, from Jim P.
Hey, man, I'm dedicated. Well, first of all, you know, I apologize. You know, sometimes the NBA schedule gets pretty hectic and travel's taking me away from being able to be on. My golf game prevented me one time. And then poor Kyle, you know, the time when we were in Utah and I'm driving through Zion and Kyle had to do the show by himself. So, hey, you know, I'm... what? Sorry, Kyle. You know, if you really would have told me you would have to do it by yourself, I could have found a, you know, inn in, you know, in Zion somewhere to stop and done it with you.
I'm appreciative for real that you just make time to do this. You're doing it from your car today. We haven't connected in a while. I know I've texted you a couple of times, but I know you were on the call again last night. I was blacked out again, so I had to watch ESPN, Jim, so I didn't get to hear you and Grady do it. But I had multiple people. I think Britt Robson led the charge on this, that they thought last night was maybe the best game you've called all season. So I don't know if you want to take it from there, Phil, because I'm sure you got to listen to that one. But
I thought it was...
Is he saying me and Grady, or me in particular? I don't know. What's Britt saying?
I think he said that, like, something about you and we're just lucky that it was a gem to have you guys call in that game last night. I'll find the real text. But I will just say I'm not anti-bigger organizations, but it was a tough listen last night with Bob Myers. So if anyone that was watching the ESPN stream,
oh, wow,
it was a little more difficult last night. There was a lot of sentences that didn't exactly equate to someone who has watched this team. So I don't know. Anywhere you want to take it, Phil, but I thought last night was one of the better basketball games, despite the result being kind of lame.
Yeah, what was the – I mean, just you were there last night, Jim, and the fourth quarter kind of went sideways, but I don't know. Like, these two teams are so fun to watch play each other and the chess match. What did you observe? Now that these teams have played each other four times and going back to the playoff series last year, what was your takeaway from the arena last night?
Well, it definitely was a heavyweight fight. I said it was Hearns Hagler from the 80s, and it was like a lot of haymakers were being thrown both ways. And, you know, I just had this conversation with Tim Connolly on the plane. Grady and I sit in the very back of the plane by the restroom, so you know what that means. Everybody's got to come through us. We're the gatekeepers. And, you know, and for the most part, Grady and I do our thing, you know, and we let people come and go. Cause like, who wants to sit there and like have a conversation when you're going to the bathroom? But anyway, but I did stop Tim cause we were talking about Jokic, and Grady and I were talking about this last night. And I just think that when you see Nikola Jokic in person, it's different than on TV. On TV, it's dominant, but when you see how big he is and you see how he ragdolls people all the time, and I'm saying like big guys too, he ragdolls big guys. And what did he have, like 5-and-1s last night where he made shots through contact? And I made the statement to Grady last night. I said, you know, watching Shaq and Kobe back in the early 2000s and how dominant Shaq was and how big of a human being he was, and how dominant he was physically, I feel like Nikola Jokic is even better than Shaquille O'Neal, just because of all the different ways that he can beat you on the basketball court. He can beat you in post-up opportunities, he can beat you up, you know, off the dribble. He can bring the ball up the court, initiate offense. He can play in the high quad, like the two-man game between he and Jamal Murray is just the options they have out of it. And then, like, just as a passer, how he can dice you up. I just think that Nikola Jokic is going to be – he's going to be a top 10 player all time. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I feel like he's every bit as dominant, if not more dominant. And Tim – agreed with me. Like, I think he's got a little bias. He said he does, but I think that Nikola Jokic is more dominant than Shaquille O'Neal.
I love that,
dude.
That's an informed take by someone who played and I didn't. But I watching him is as much as you don't like to watch him because he's an opponent of your favorite team or whatever. He's so good. He is just incredible. It seems like he always makes the right play. I think he gets a pretty good whistle. There was that moment where even if Rudy sold it last night, I felt like Jokic knocked Rudy to the ground going for that 50-50 ball.
Yeah.
Jokic got another end one. But speaking of that game, because I did see one clip, and I, again, this week, you played, Jim. I didn't. Jim, do guys have to dribble anymore? Because Aaron Gordon just gets to put the ball down every 6 seconds. Like, do well, guys and that's what
I was. I was saying I was getting so irritated during the game because Aaron Gordon's bringing the ball up the floor and he's completely yo-yoing it, and he's like he's discontinuing his dribble. He's turning it over in his hand, and I'm saying like, are these guys going to be letter of the law? That the non-call on Jokic, you know, strong-arming Rudy and knocking him to the ground. I think there was a little bit of, method acting with Rudy right there. But I think there was a real part of it where he really got knocked to the ground. And that kind of changed the game because Wolves were up three at that point. And Jokic, you know, gets an and-one opportunity out of it. And then, you know, they hit a lucky three after that. It was just like – and it went from like a, you know – Wolves up three to down 10, you know, in the fourth quarter. It happened in about a 3-minute span. So that was a momentum play. And I didn't think that Tony Brothers had a good game last night. I thought that refereeing crew was a little bit uneven. So
I loved your, at one point you made a comment, and this not to make this all about officiating, but like Jokic does get a great whistle and he also goes hunting for the whistle. But then anytime the wind blows a little bit against him on a call, he is the most incredulous. And I think you used the word like the audacity that he has right now in this moment after what's happened the last 5 minutes to even look at the official like, dude, wow.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is pretty, it's his way. But I really do think that he's going to be, and you know, the thing about it, it's kind of like playing golf with my son, Sanjay. You know, I put a golf club in Sanjay's hand when he was four. So Sanjay's a +2 right now, so he's really good. But he could care less about playing golf. And when I play with him and he shoots 72 and he hasn't played in a year, it just makes me so mad. And the same thing is true with Jokic. This is what Tim and I were laughing about. Is like Jokic could be a top 10 player, and I don't think he could give two craps about whether he is or isn't. You know,
he just wants to go home. Yeah.
He just wants to be alone, and he wants to go ride his harness horses or whatever he does in Serbia. But the thing I was saying Grady and I were talking about this too. Like, if I know that NBA Twitter is all aghast about the Timberwolves right now, that they think that Minnesota was outclassed by Denver. But anybody that says that didn't watch the other three games, because the Wolves completely dismantled Denver in the first game at Target Center early in the season. And then when Denver came to Target Center and Minnesota was completely depleted, they lost by three, but the Wolves could have won that game really easily, and they didn't have Rudy, Cat, or Nas in that game, and I think that scared Denver a little bit. And then the Wolves go to Denver March 29th and dismantle them again. So mm-hmm. If you're saying that the Wolves don't belong in the same class as Denver, you didn't see the other three games.
Amen.
So I have a whole list, Jim, of just questions I wanted to ask you since we haven't talked in a couple of days, but another thing that came up this week, you were on the call Tuesday night when Ant has a 50-point game, 51 to be exact. And I saw Alan Horton tweet out the list of guys that have had 50-point games in Timberwolves history. And you tweeted at him, we've seen them all. So I don't just take that anywhere you want, but like, what has it been like? Or, you know, that night in specific, they needed all 51 from Ant to pull that game out. But how cool is it for you being long-term with this organization to have seen all those different guys drop 50 at some point?
Well, and you know, what's funny about it too, is that Carl is at the top of the list. You know, Carl has the 60-point games.
Yeah.
So, so I don't think Cat gets enough credit. A lot of the lists, you know, before Cat came to the Timberwolves, 3-point shooting lists, you know, all-time scoring lists, any kind of like metric that you want to say, like the team history, they were sad lists. And even like the coaching, you know, list is pretty sad too, because we were talking about how fast Finchie has been, you know, vaulted into the number two spot all time wins list. It's the coaching history with this team is kind of sad too. I still maintain Chris Finch is the greatest coach in Timberwolves history. Carl Anthony Towns has gotten up there along with Kevin Love and with Kevin Garnett in terms of being an all time great Timberwolves player. But Anthony Edwards is going to rewrite everything. Like I just hope he spends his entire career. I hope he's like Kobe Bryant and, you know, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, to play with one team. I want him to be in that category because I think that he is. Is there a more joyful player in the NBA that you've seen? I just don't know if I've seen anybody since Magic Johnson that has that kind of charisma in the way that he's able to engage with the crowd, and the way that the camera loves him too. The camera loves him. The photograph of him holding up the 50, and I don't know if you noticed the finger splint that he had on his hand.
Oh yeah, 21.
He had the 21 on it, and so I don't mean to hijack this podcast, but
no, hijack away.
I cried when I saw that photo.
Don't say hijack at an airport though. You're looking out for you. Just be careful.
Well, so anyway, I was texting with longtime equipment manager Clayton Wilson because, you know, KG wore that finger splint his entire career. I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but if you look at photographs of Kevin Garnett from 1996 to the time he retired in a Timberwolves uniform, he had that splint on his finger.
And he would oftentimes dunk. It would come off of his finger on a dunk. He was like, why is he always bending over after a dunk and picking something up? It was the finger thing.
It was the splint coming off his hand. So he cut his finger in a game in Los Angeles against the Lakers, and it was in 1996. So he cut his finger. He actually needed the splint, but then he played great with the splint on. So the splint never went away. We know how superstitious KG is. Yeah. But there's a story that I was remembering, and I was trying to remember some of the particulars. So I was texting with Clayton Wilson after I saw Ant do the 50. And so I said, Clayton, what was the story about KG and Memphis? And so the year that the Timberwolves were trying to vie for the number one seed in the Western Conference in 03-04, they had to play Memphis the last game of the year. And it was the Pau Gasol Memphis Grizzlies too. So it was at the Pyramid. It wasn't at FedEx Forum. It was at the Pyramid, which is now a Bass Pro Shop, by the way. I don't know if you guys know that or not. You guys got to go look that up. Look up the Bass Pro Shop in Memphis. It's where the Grizzlies first played when they moved from Vancouver.
By the way, side street down a side street. Have you guys seen a rash of Bass Pro Shops trucker hats all over the place?
Yes, I see them all over.
Why are people just wearing Bass Pro Shops hats now?
What is that?
I have
Kyle has one.
I have a couple. they're back in the closet. I think they were like mass produced and like really cheap. I think they're selling them at like Walmart and stuff. But
they are, yeah.
As trucker hats become more popular or whatever, and you can see I got one on. Yeah, they are. They are all the rage right now, I think, for the next generation. But back to the
end of the 2004.
So I'm texting with Clayton. And so anyways, so KG had to have the splint on. He virtually could not play without his finger. And so when they go on this road trip, KG forgot to put his splint in his shoe. And then Clayton put the shoes in the bag. And you know, the equipment managers, they handle all the equipment. So when KG found out he didn't have his splint, Clayton had to send an intern into the Timberwolves locker room back at Target Center, get the splint, bring it to the airport, have a pilot that was flying a commercial flight from Minneapolis to Memphis take the splint to the Memphis airport. A courier had to go pick it up at the airport and bring it directly to the Pyramid so KG can play in game 82 that the Timberwolves won to be the number one seed in the Western Conference in 03-04.
That's an amazing story.
That's crazy. What a cool job. Dude.
So KG was just so superstitious. And then, you know, I don't know. Did you see KG's tweet at Ant about the splint? I mean, so anyway, I say that to say, I just was telling Lee, I was telling Grady last night the story because I'm still filling Grady in on Timberwolves history, things that happen and the importance of it. So I was telling him last night. And so I was telling Leah that this morning on the plane. So she's going to try to track down to see why Ant, because I didn't ask anybody why Ant had that 21 on his finger. I just thought it was cool that KG tweeted at Ant with that picture in mind. So,
man, it is like, I know there's all, and we're probably not going to talk ownership on this podcast, but there's like the KG force and the Anthony Edwards force. I think we all want it to come together more closely, and hopefully it does at some point. But it is so cool to see him from a distance on Twitter. He's clearly connecting with this team. He clearly still communicates with Karl Anthony Towns and Ant. It's I hope he comes to a playoff game. I hope he comes to a playoff game. I'm not sure if he's quite there yet, and it's kind of a mess right now. But, man, I like those guys together, Anthony Edwards and Kevin Garnett, bridging the 35-year history of this franchise. We need it to happen at some point.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I just was Grady does a thing, and you know, I need to promote this more because, you know, all these wonderful people that work in the Timberwolves organization, that all these videographers that they have, and they take all these incredible behind the scenes videos that you see on social media, but they do a 15-minute YouTube piece. I don't know if you guys ever watch it or not. It's called Tracking the Pack or whatever. And Grady does the voiceover stuff. That's some beautiful video that they shoot. And we were just watching, and I it's not really on my radar for whatever reason, but it is now. The video from that road trip from Indiana through Utah, and all the incredible plays and the camera angles that they had from behind the scenes. Like, you have to watch this video. Like, Anthony Edwards is just such a beautiful human being, man. Like, and like, you get to really see, like, when you see Track the Pack, you get to really see some behind the scenes stuff that you don't get to see normally. So I would say people go watch Track the Pack on the Timberwolves YouTube feed and see some of that video. Grady does a great job of narrating that stuff. And between him narrating and his awesome calls, it's great video. It's great viewing. So
yeah, it's on YouTube and they do it at least once a month. I mean, they turn it around now pretty fast, which is hard because it's hard to edit that stuff. But they did a cool one when the team went to Dubai or Abu Dhabi, like in the preseason. So if you don't watch Track the Pack yet, do it. But also, to your point, Jim, Grady does like the narration, and it's the more, I mean, if Michael Grady just wants to leave me voicemails, like the more I can listen to him, the better. So go check that out.
I'm sincerely thinking about having him do my, I've never done this before. Cause I have two things on my phone. I've never done an outgoing thing on my phone for people to leave a message.
Oh yeah.
But so my ringtone is still Alan Horton's call. That's a foul. The Kevin Love thing. That's my ringtone. When you call me, Ed Malloy. Yeah. If you were to call me right now, Kyle, call me right now.
All right. Yeah. I'm working on this right now because that's anytime anyone calls you.
Uh huh.
Oh my God. Okay. This is just on the fly.
By the way, Alan Horton and Ed Malloy had never met each other and maybe still haven't until this season. Here we go.
David Guthrie is right there. You never got to call it. Also, go Ed Malloy!
It's my ringtone.
That's the greatest moment of my podcasting life. Wow. Okay. Well,
wait, good luck. So you ever just like sitting at a restaurant, you leave your phone on accident?
Yep.
And all of a sudden people are looking over.
What's funny is when someone calls me and I'm sitting on the plane with Alan Horton, he's kind of over it now at this point, but
that's so good. I was saying too, cause back to, you said it before, Jim, that like, it would be awesome if Ant had kind of a Kobe career. I don't know if you saw this, Phil, but last night was Ant's 300th game for the Timberwolves. And I just thought it was crazy to look at those. I mean, he's first in points through 300 games in franchise history, eighth in rebounds, fourth in assists, third in steals, and then first in three-pointers made. It's crazy to think that, we're only in year four, and he's already played 300 games. I mean, I was looking back because I was looking at some LaMelo stuff. Everyone from that draft class, a lot of those guys haven't played a lot. Wiseman, LaMelo, injuries, Patrick Williams. Ant's played like 96% of every season, and it's just been – it's crazy how far he's come, right, Jim? I mean, you've called every game. It's crazy to see how far he's come in 4 years and to think that he's still probably 4 years away from his prime.
Yeah, I think that, you know, having Chris Finch and this coaching staff and Chris Hines, the way that Ant gives credit to other people, his maturity, his old soul mentality, the fact that he's able to share the spotlight, he's so pumped that, you know, that Cat's coming back. I mean, it's like the post-game interview after the Washington game with Leah, you know, it was so great because, you know, he was saying Cat's coming back. And then also, how excited he was about, are you going to have energy for tomorrow night in Denver? And he just was like, hell yeah. You know, he's like, he's so real, you know? He's improved so much even this year. Like, his playmaking has gotten so much better. His off-ball awareness has gotten better. It still has ways to go yet, but still. He's a supercomputer, you know, he's learning exponentially. He's like AI, you know, he's just getting smarter and smarter all the time. And it's just fun to watch.
Well, you mentioned like 10 minutes ago that you asked the question sort of rhetorically, is there any player in the league that just is more joyful than Anthony Edwards? And I don't know that I can name one, but the thing I love about him, not only is he maybe the most joyful player, but he can flip that switch to killer mode, like basketball killer mode, whenever he needs to, where it's time to go get 6 points in 30 seconds and tie this thing up, or it's time to get a clamp stop on defense. And he can kind of toggle between being this conductor of an arena, this joyous personality, and also I'm going to take this game and reach into your basketball soul and rip your heart out. Kind of that Kobe, Mamba type mindset too. He's got both.
And he has the ability to talk smack, and he could talk smack effectively to humiliate you, when he can talk smack to you and make you laugh. And he can also, when something is going against him, he can also appreciate it too. I don't know. It was a small thing last night, but when Christian Brown was doing demolition at the end of the game and he was getting all those dunks, he dunked left-handed on Rudy. He had the lob dunk. Like, he was just like, it was a dunk fest, right? There was a, came out of a timeout, and it was Ant and Christian Brown standing next to each other, and they were talking, and Ant was, I think, really kind of like enjoying the moment with Christian Brown. Do you guys remember that? I mean, it was, I don't know if ESPN had that feed, Kyle, but it was on our feed. We just had the video of them standing side by side, and Ant's chatting with him, and they're laughing. You know what I mean? So he also has a good nature part of it. He's not a sore loser. You know what I mean? He could stand next to Christian Brown and enjoy the moment with him, that he had a great moment himself, you know?
Yeah.
So the next time we hear you call a game tomorrow night, Wolves Hawks, there's something else you said. Karl-Anthony Towns might be back. We're not sure yet, but how do you, there's been a lot of questions or conversations, you know, on podcasts and articles about integrating him back in. What are your kind of thoughts on that just in general? And how important do you think, like, kind of like I think that you got to have all players available? You know what I mean? Like, this team can't do what it wants to do without integrating Carl back into the mix.
Well, I think that Finchie's command of the English language. I just think that so many people enjoy his post-game pressers, right? Because they're so listenable. He's so real. And the words that he chooses to use, I think that, Dane and Britt have brought this up too. I think Britt, who was also a wordsmith, I think he enjoys listening to Finch so much, because I think they're fellow travelers when it comes to that kind of thing. And Finch has used the term, I like the original term he used with Cat, and that's stray voltage. I mean, that was just like, you know, so classic and so descriptive and so precise and right on. Like, everybody just goes, that's exactly what it is. It's stray voltage. Yeah. But he also said this about Cat too, is that one thing you miss with Karl-Anthony Towns, you miss his on-demand scoring. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another phrase that I think is really true. Like, his on-demand scoring, like Cat can score in bunches, just like Ant can. And so I think that's one thing that he's going to bring back to the table, his ability to score in so many different areas of the floor. And then I just hope that he's learned something about playing with a 0.5 mentality. Like, just having watched how the way Nas plays is a lubricant to the offense and helps things playing in the flow, and that Ant still gets sticky fingers. But how many times have we heard since Cat went down that the offense isn't flowing because the ball's getting sticky? You haven't really heard that much, right? And so I'm hoping that that's the one thing that Carl picked up, that he really learned, like, how important it is for him to have a 0.5 mentality, that he can't sit there and, as the ball goes from swings through him in the middle of the floor, that it doesn't stick in the middle and he's jab stepping and pump faking and, or playing off the catch, trying to, you know, steamroll three defenders that are taking away his drives, that he learns to be more of a playmaker and have a 0.5 mentality. If he does that, he'll be integrated back quickly.
Yeah, I just pulled up the quotes from, this is from a couple nights ago. Finch asked about, I think Dane asked this question, about how seamless he feels like it's going to be to reintegrate Cat. And to what you just said, the wordsmithing here is excellent. So Finch said, quote, obviously, Cat is extremely talented. We need him to be a very good version of himself. But also, I think there are some things that we've figured out in the last couple weeks that we're going to need him to kind of lean into as well. It might be slightly different than the rhythm in which we were playing before he left. So, you know, and Gobert said some similar things, that, hey, he's super talented, we love him, we have figured some things out over here. We need him to lean into those things as opposed to maybe pulling toward sticky fingers or whatever it may be. And I don't know, man, like if they can seamlessly integrate Cap back in a way that gives them a 9-man rotation of awesome players that they didn't have access to in last year's playoffs, I think they can get to the finals. And I don't know if that's a hot take, but if Cat is in and it's not clunky, man, this team can do some damage. The Western Conference is loaded, you guys, but if Cat can come back and you can play at the level that you're capable of, I don't think anyone's beating this team in the West in a 7-game series. That's my hot take.
I think Jim froze. Otherwise, he just is inundated by that take that you just gave. I'm with you, though, too. I mean, I think a lot of it is Phil. A lot of people now are focused on seeding, right? And what seed will the Wolves be? I don't really care, because when you do look up and down those standings, I don't know. Like, there's just every team you can make a case for being a good matchup or a bad matchup. It's more about these next two games are actually kind of important now.
Agreed. Because
you want to integrate Cap back in. I would expect him probably to play tomorrow night against Atlanta. But finding a rhythm for this, again, kind of modified new rotation again when you throw Carl back in it. So you just want to be playing really good basketball. Obviously, you want to, you know, knock on wood, you want to avoid any injuries. But, yeah, Jim, we're just talking about getting Carl back in the mix. Yeah. And
I said finals, if Carl integrates back in and they elevate, I think they can get to the finals. That's my hot take.
Well, I said it at the beginning of the year. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but I said this team can get to the finals. I knew this. I kind of felt this way going into it, into the season. I felt like this was the most talented team in Timberwolves history. I mean, the team in 2003-04, I mean, the bench was not spectacular. I was never a big, you know, Michael Olowa candy fan. I mean,
Speaking of sticky, by the way,
I mean, like,
that guy ever pass out of the post?
I mean, he was a true black hole, man. Like, that was, it was, I don't know. We just have a better team now. I think this roster is balanced. We have shooting. I think it's gotten better, even, you know, bringing in Monte. I think that Monte has all that experience. So, yeah, I think this team can get to the finals. I think that it can get past Denver. I think that Boston is a team that we match up okay with. I just think we have so many great perimeter defenders, and we have the ultimate rim protector. We have enough offense. We have the coaching staff. We have the guys that can X and O it. And I think that we've got a competitive flair and a veteran group. So I'm with you big time. I'm with you, Phil. I think that we'll do it.
Jim, you said one thing that I want to follow up about the Nuggets, but the Wolves have played the Nuggets really well all season long. You know, they've won a couple, lost a couple, whatever. The one team, and again, I haven't talked to you in about a week, but the one team that the Wolves just have never really had an answer for, despite a small sample size, is the Phoenix Suns. When you see that matchup, potential matchup come playoff time, do you see any major red flags there? Or is it just, once again, being able to bring that defense that has been top defense pretty much all year and finding ways to just execute in the fourth?
Yeah, I mean, who does Carl guard?
Yeah, I know.
Well, who does Mike guard? You know, if you got Beal and you got Booker and you got Durant out there, and they've got Grayson Allen out there, and so we can have some matchup issues. Like, I didn't think Mike was great on Beal. Like, yeah, you know, it ended up being okay, because really what Beal did at the beginning of the game, like, was all that he really did in the rest of the game. But Durant Booker, we can match up with them. We've got, I think, you know, between Jaden and Ant, I mean, we can guard those guys. But who do the other guys guard? That's right. The question. So I think that during a 7-game series, I think the Wolves will figure it out. I think they'll be able to match up with them, because Phoenix is way more inconsistent. I mean, they've been a super big time volatile stock all year long, and I think that you don't change who you are come playoff time.
Yeah, throw your, if you have a Denver thing, Kyle.
No, I was just trying to think of, you know, as that's the talk right now, is these next two games, figuring out, are you going to be the 1 seed, the 2 seed, the 3 seed? Everything is changing it by the minute. I just don't really think about it. I'm just with Jim on his original take in October that if this team plays the style of basketball they can, they integrate Carl back in, I'm not worried about the opponent. It's just play your best basketball. grind them to death, and then hit shots in the fourth, and you're going to win. You've been a good team all year. Like, why would I all of a sudden be scared of the Suns, who had 22 points in the first half against the Clippers
the other night? They've also been weird in the fourth quarter all year, the Suns, too.
The worst team, yeah, in the fourth.
Yeah. Actually, you know, we started this podcast, and one more thing here, Jim Pete, and we'll let you go home after this road trip. You're sitting in the parking lot at Signature. You mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that in the back of the plane on the way home, you talked to Tim Connelly for a little bit. And that is one guy that I'd love to ask. Man, you sat there, Tim. You took this job. You made a blockbuster trade. Everybody clowned you for it. Although this podcast was very pro, at least I was. Kyle needed a little bit of convincing, okay. But this podcast was very Rudy Gobert trade friendly from the get-go. But Tim Connelly spent 12 months, 15 months hearing from NBA talking heads, people in the league, fans saying that's the dumbest trade in the history of the NBA. That's the Herschel Walker trade. And so I'm wondering, as he's sitting there in his office for 12 months, 15 months, knowing this is a good trade, why is it not manifesting? This is a good trade. Like, we need to stick with this, run the roster back. I wonder what he was thinking then, and I wonder what he's thinking now, that this team, they're not going to get the one seed, but like 57 wins potentially. What must be going through his head after all this 2 years?
Yeah, I meant to ask him that actually, because I just was talking with some people about his reason for, because he knows that Denver roster so well. He knows Nikola Jokic and what he is. And I'm just wondering how much he made that trade for Rudy Gobert to be able to beat the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. Like, you know, that's like, because that's the guy, because everybody was trying to figure out a way how to beat the Lakers and Shaq and Kobe, right? You had to have some dominant bigs that could deal with Shaq, and you had to have somebody that could guard Kobe, and you could score enough points. Again, teams have done this throughout NBA history, is that there are certain people you have to contend with, and you got to have people on your roster that can deal with them, that can overcome their greatness. And so Nikola Jokic is one of those guys, and Rudy Gobert has been one of those players, you know? So, and you know, I was on the NBA radio yesterday with Antonio Daniels, and he posed the question to me. He said, what would you rather have? Would you rather have positional versatility defensively, or would you rather have great rim protection? And so, I mean, my answer to him was that in today's NBA, with all the 3-point shooting and all the great perimeter skills, like, I think that having the perimeter defenders that we have right now, we have the ability to contend. Like, I don't think that Kyrie and Luka, who, and that's another question they asked me too, do I think that's the greatest, most skilled backcourt in the history of the NBA? And I think that when you think about Luka and you think about Kyrie, the fact that we have Jaden and Ant and Nikhil and Mike and all and Kyle and all these great defenders, like, Kyle's done a great job on Luka, right? Yeah. How many times have we seen Kyle take the ball from Luka Doncic, end of game situation for Minnesota to win? The two pit bulls, you know, Ant and Jaden, like they don't scare me. So perimeter versatility is what I ended up choosing. But after seeing Rudy Gobert up close, Kyle and Phil, what he brings to the table defensively, we would not be where we're at without Rudy Gobert. Do you guys agree?
Yeah,
I agree. And also, Rudy kind of gives you, like, he's like the Venn diagram. He gives you both. I think of that possession where he guarded LaMelo on a switch for like all 24 seconds to force a really bad shot. I mean, Rudy can, that's not ideal. You want him at the rim, but he can get out on the perimeter and guard some guys too. So I would lean what you said, but I think the Wolves, the reason they're so good, Phil and Jim, is because they have both. I mean, they have, like you said, they have the perimeter defenders and they have the rim protection, and it's I'm a defense guy now. I'd rather watch a good defense than a good offense.
Yeah, but that's,
I just think that Utah had limitations because all they had was Rudy and all those terrible perimeter defenders. You know, they were limited in how far they could go come playoff time when you need to get stops. Because really, at the end of the day, perimeter defense wins the day. Perimeter, if you can't keep guys out of the paint, and if you can't defend 1-on-1 and contest and get out and guard 3-point shooters, you're going to lose. So. Mm-hmm. You really do need both, but if I need one over the other, I'd rather have a bunch of pit bulls on the perimeter.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, this, you're going to hear this in the next 2 weeks, too, that Rudy Gobert gets played off the court in the postseason. Well, yeah, when like when you're running Joe Ingles out at, you know, on the perimeter, not to slander Joe Ingles and Donovan Mitchell, you know, it's different. You and you bring up, for instance, the Mavericks, and I would put the Clippers in this bin too, because the Wolves played the Clippers four times this year, and the Clippers averaged under 100 points per game offensively in those four matchups. So if they run into, there's a couple teams like that that you'd look and say, wow, there's Hall of Famers, there's Paul George, but you can throw guys at those players if you're the Timberwolves. When remember that, was it last year against the Mavericks at the end of one of those games, and the Mavericks had like 20 seconds left to get a shot off, and they couldn't get a shot off against Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels, because you can throw dudes at some of those players. I don't know if you can throw anyone at Zion, for instance, if you match up with the Pelicans. There's a couple matchups that scare me, and the Pelicans are actually one of them, so we'll see how that plays out, but man, this is gonna be so much
fun. The best play last night was, I got to go listen now to Jim and Grady's call, but when 24 seconds of defense, Gobert gets the block on Jokic, right? Ant throws it ahead to Nas, who throws it to Jaden, who goes behind his back. Gobert. That was defense leading to offense, but that was basketball porn 101. I mean, that was, if you don't like that.
Well, and the other one too, because I was watching on Twitter today, a replay, the ESPN's replay of Ant going up for a jumper. He was going to get his shot blocked, so he throws it back to Nas, and yeah, Nas takes it and saves it by going between his legs, and then did this incredible spin dribble, and then ended up getting an and one opportunity. And like the ESPN guys just like did not faze them at all. I mean, talk about basketball porn. I mean, like that to me, like the skill up.
Wrong button.
Grady made a farm noise.
There we go.
When that happened, Grady and you both were like, that was incredible in the moment, and one Nas lands on the ground. That was it was a good game last night. Again, bad result, but to have a chance to get to 57 wins and to clinch this two seed, who knows if the one or two seed's better until you actually play each other. But it's been a hell of a season, and I know I speak for Phil and a lot of people, Jim. It's been awesome to have you on, and hopefully we can keep this going through the playoffs. So thank you, sir.
Yeah, you guys got it, man. Great to be. I would only do this for so many people, but you two people are two people that I would do this for. So,
thank you, it's a great compliment. Yes, yeah. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoy your time in the airport parking lot, and we'll talk to you next week. There he is, Jim Peterson, Jim Pete Hoops on Twitter, if you want to follow him. And we'll get to a random Wolf of the Week here shortly to close out this show, Kyle. After we shout out our friends over at Nicolet Law, the official personal injury law firm of Score North, Flagrant Howells in this case. So Nicolet Law is proud to serve the Twin Cities community. They're very local. They're just your normal everyday folks that happen to have law degrees to help you when an unexpected accident occurs. You can give them a call at 1-855-NICOLET. Or NicoletLaw.com is their website. Get Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers. Get Nicolet. Also, our friends at First Equity Mortgage are helping to power this show on a weekly basis. And I had a great experience a few years ago with David over at First Equity, refinancing my home at the time. 24 years in the market, First Equity is Minnesota-based. They pride themselves on being ingrained in the community. In fact, David is a 20-year Wolves and Lynx season ticket holders, so you see him roaming around Target Center. They also offer programs for veterans and for new home buyers if you qualify. First Equity Mortgage, FEMORT.com. That's FEMORT.com or ScoreNorth.com. Keyword, David. Let's bring him in, producer extraordinaire Ross Brendel, with the random Wolf of the Week. I think Ross is muted right now. He is a broadcast professional. A professional broadcaster.
I have failed this podcast. I am so sorry. It's good to see you boys again.
Good to have this back. My apologies. Like Tuesday, we're supposed to do a show, had some stuff come up, talk about it later, but I'm glad to have you guys back. And also, I should have said this 40 minutes ago, but because I said this last week, Phil and Ross, my mom and dad made it safely back from Hawaii. They're resting comfortably back in the great state of North Dakota. So shout out to my mom and dad. But life is back to normal a little bit. On the personal side, and now we're ramping up for what seems to be a fun and maybe dramatic and chaotic Timberwolves playoff run. But we will have all that coverage here at your favorite lifestyle podcast.
Fun, dramatic, and chaotic. What a great way to set up the return of Random Wolf of the Week.
Which, this is how it works. We'll explain this, and then Ross will throw out some clues. So it's a battle between me versus Kyle every single week. We try to do this weekly. We should probably play some catch up and maybe do two next week. But Kyle has an 11-6 lead, including two consecutive wins with Stefan Marbury and Dante Cunningham as the last two random wolves. Felipe Lopez, Corey Brewer, Andre Kirilenko, and J.R. Ryder before that. Ross will throw out some clues. Each one of us can shout out guesses whenever we think we know the answer. If one of us hits a third strike, the other one wins automatically. And yeah. By the way, for people wondering, like, Stefan Marbury, he's not random. You guys don't know ball. No, it's literally just random wolves, randomly generated wolves. And Ross has his own beep, burp, burp, burp algorithm. And we'll see who it is today.
And sometimes the random wolf of the week algorithm returns somebody you might not know. Like, literally, you forgot they existed. Sometimes it returns a star player. You never know what you're going to get with random wolf of the week. And here we go. Gentlemen, this random wolf of the week is American born.
Do we get heat check guesses?
You do. Good luck with that first clue. These do not count. Again, by the way, if you get it right, it counts. If you get it wrong, it does not count as a guess.
Why would you do American born as a clue? Is that a clue in itself that you would even think to say American born? Is there a question about whether he's
Al Jefferson?
That is not correct, Kyle.
Just letting it rip.
Will Avery.
Love me a good Will Avery reference. It is not Will Avery.
Yeah, those guesses don't count to our three strikes. Those are heat check guesses.
Clue number two. This random wolf of the week was a five-star recruit out of high school. Five-star recruit out of high school. That's, I would venture to guess most NBA players were five-star recruits, but not all of them.
Yeah. It'd be tough to... Well, some of those Timberwolves rosters probably weren't rocking a lot of five-star high school recruits back in the day.
They probably had five total stars on the roster.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This random wolf of the week, gentlemen, not a first-round pick in the NBA draft. So a five-star recruit out of high school, they were not a first-round pick. This random wolf of the week made his NBA debut playing against the LA Lakers and scoring 3 points.
Is it Naz Reid?
It is Naz Reid. Well done.
Whoa.
Wow. Do you have his game log stored in your head?
What?
That's by the way, correction, that's sixth man of the year, Naz Reid, to you. What? Kings fans. No, that
WrestleMania was star Naz Reid, by the way.
I mean, there's probably other guys that would fall under this filter, but five-star recruit coming out of high school, goes to LSU, terrible first year, comes out undrafted. So when you said five-star, but not a first-round pick, got me thinking the way you word these things, my friend Ross, that maybe this guy wasn't even drafted. So
you didn't even let me get to he was not even drafted in the second round.
I was legitimately set to guess Rick Rickert, but I couldn't remember if he played an actual regular season game or not.
That's a fun one. I'm glad timely too, Ross. Not Naz Reid. Everyone together, Naz Reid.
And Naz, two words, Naz Reid. And again, I'm not joking. That is completely random. And this was actually, when did we last think we were going to do random wolf of the week? Weeks ago? That's how old this one is.
Tuesday, but you've had it prepped for like two weeks probably.
Yeah, that's correct. On me.
If you have time, I think we might. I do have a second one ready if you want to do a two for today, since Kyle mastered that one so quick.
Wow. Let's go. Okay. All right, here we go. We're going
a real heat check. Bring it up.
Another chance for Kyle to embarrass me here. Let's go.
It's now 12-6. How about Naz Reid taking over WrestleMania, by the way? Good for
him. Dude, that was amazing. Yeah, you had 75, I think it was night one, 75,000 people inside. Where were they? Where was WrestleMania? Philadelphia.
Link.
The Link, right?
I can report
a gigantic Naz Reid towel in like the fifth row of WrestleMania. That's great.
I can report. Now, granted, it was only about a 300-foot walk, but there was a Naz Reid towel at Target Field yesterday. So,
okay,
just taking over the world.
To keep going. And I will say, too, back to the WrestleMania thing, because at some point this podcast, maybe in the summer, we're just going to talk wrestling. I was going back and forth with Phil all weekend because Phil, really, the wrestling historian, Ross, he made a perfect analogy of what happened at the main event.
I texted him. I told him bravo. I LOL'd at this. It was so well done.
To compare WrestleMania back to Minnesota sports. Phil, I'm dead serious. I'm not blowing smoke. That was maybe some of your best work.
The Kansas City Tribal Chiefs was some brilliant. Of my best work brilliant. On Twitter in 15 that's, years.
Phil, that's what got me. That was brilliant. All right, boys. Kyle now leads 12-6. Here's your second random wolf of the week for this podcast. Okay. This random wolf of the week is the definition of random wolf of the week. Do what you want with that clue.
Oh, boy.
Heat check time, boys.
Rick oh, that's Rickard. Right.
It is not Rick Rickard.
We need to confirm. Did he got punched out by KG in practice one time. I don't know if he ever played in the game.
I his name.
I think that was only exhibition in preseason. Rick Rickard was a one and done at the University of Minnesota.
Lafonso Ellis.
It is not Lafonso Ellis. I do have Lafonso Ellis's autograph, though.
I will get ripped in the comment. Rick Rickard, graduate of Duluth. And
East,
was named
I think.
2000, yes, Duluth East, 2001 Mr. Basketball in Minnesota. So yeah. I am not aware of him, but he is a dude.
Oh, dude, yeah, he played, he was, him and Prisbilla in separate years, both were like one and done Gopher players.
Okay.
The Gophers had a great run of NBA big men, one and done. Chris Humphreys was a one and done.
Fun fact, and again, thank you to Mr. Rick Rickard, who once bought me Chipotle. He was in front of me in line nice. At Chipotle. After his overseas career ended, and I said, you must be Rick Rickard or something like that, and he bought my burrito bowl.
He's like, you must be Ross Brendel. Let me buy you some lunch.
Kevin Garnett punched Rickard during a 2004 pickup game, leading to stitches and a chipped tooth, according to our friends at Wikipedia. Back to you, Ross.
Yep.
This random wolf of the week is 6 foot 3 inches tall and 200 pounds.
Okay. But it's the definition of random, huh?
This random wolf of the week, gentlemen, played in nearly 600 NBA games. Carry the one.
Yeah.
Over those 600 games, boys, this random wolf of the week played in only 34 games for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, gosh.
I got you right where I want you.
The definition of random is getting me here. I'm going to control F. I don't think we've done this one. Is it Brandon Roy?
It is not Brandon Roy. Brandon Roy.
Damn it.
This random wolf of the week never played more than 2 seasons for any NBA team.
Very random, very journeyman. Okay.
This random wolf of the week was technically a part of 9 different NBA franchises.
Jeez. That's wild.
This random wolf of the week, this might help out Kyle, was the 11th overall pick of his NBA draft. No year given, but he was the 11th overall pick of his NBA draft.
Dude was a lottery pick.
This might start to get you guys closer. This random wolf of the week is a 2007 McDonald's All-American.
Martell Webster. No, he was fourth overall.
It is not Martell Webster. You love Martell Webster as a guest.
No, that was a good guess, though.
Trying to be aggressive here. It's failing me.
How about this? This random wolf of the week played college basketball at the University of Arizona.
This is hard.
This random wolf of the week averaged 11.5 points per game in his time playing for the Timberwolves.
So he was kind of a guy.
I would classify this player. Games. I'll give you this. Even though he played for a lot of teams, this guy's career numbers are okay. He was fine.
He was a good NBA player. He played at Arizona? Or he came
played
out
of Arizona? Played at
Arizona. Yep. Okay. Can I ask, what was the clue before Arizona again? Was that the 11th overall?
11th pick, yeah.
And also 2007 McDonald's All-American.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
While playing for the Wolves, this random wolf of the week wore number 8.
Hmm.
this player did not sign with the Minnesota Timberwolves, this random Wolf of the Week, that is. He was acquired via trade in the month of November.
Like what?
November. In November?
In November. Per Sportrack, this random Wolf of the Week earned just over $48 million in his NBA career.
Isn't that amazing? 600 games, 9 different teams.
I gotta do the
math. Just put a cool $50 million in your net worth. The NBA, man.
$80,000 a game.
Is that the math?
I think that's the math, yeah.
Prior to his trade to Minnesota, this random Wolf of the Week was a Philadelphia 76er.
Oh,
Jared Bayless. God.
Kyle for the win. He sweeps the day.
Oh,
he sweeps the day.
11.5 points per game with the Wolves.
I didn't know that. I just, a November trade is always weird, right? Because that was the Jimmy Butler trade.
That was the Jimmy Butler trade. Right? Yeah, it had to be.
It was. Yep.
I was going to yell out Ross. I think Cole Aldrich was the 11th pick in a draft. I'd have to go look that up, but obviously he didn't play at Arizona. But okay, that was good one. Clue one, random. He was random. I don't think he liked playing here either. So
Cole Aldrich was
a lottery pick, right?
11th overall pick. Yeah.
Okay.
Martell Webster, I think, was a top five pick.
Wasn't he? I think so. Martell, he was too.
Yeah, Martell Webster had to have been a good
by Portland, correct?
Yeah.
Was he drafted by Portland? Yeah, he played for Portland. Yeah, he was a.
If you're going to be traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves and it's early on in the season, I'm not trying to rip our fair state, but you get here in November and you just know it's overcast, cold, windy. You know, what a bad time to be traded to Minneapolis.
Yeah, the fall leaves are probably the beauty of fall has probably subsided.
It's gone. Gone. It's just overcast and drizzly. Good job, Kyle.
Congratulations to Kyle.
That was fun.
That puts you up. It's a football like score, 13-6. Phil needs a touchdown and an extra point to tie you at this point.
Yeah, Kyle with 4 consecutive wins now in the random Wolf of the Week here. So I need to go back to the film study room, see what went wrong here, and study up on my 2016 Minnesota Timberwolves rosters, apparently.
Good thing I had two ready. I figured you guys would get two words, Naz Reid, pretty quickly. Mm. I didn't know you would get them that quickly. So good work, Kyle. I am in awe. I'm not worthy.
Just be back on the pod. So thanks again, seriously, to everyone who showed some love and support, but also to you guys for holding down the fort. We're back, and let's close this thing out all the way to June.
All right, boys. Yeah, the Wolves playing basketball in June is something that's hard to compute, but it's possible. It's possible this season. This is a Timberwolves Lifestyle Podcast. Flagler and Howells.